I want you to turn your attention, if you would please, to Psalm 23:3, where this is what it says. It says, "He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I want to talk to us for just a little while from this subject, straying sheep and a restoring shepherd. Straying sheep and a restoring shepherd. Let us pray. Father, it's in the name of the Lord Jesus that we thank you now. We thank you for this another opportunity to stand in this sacred space and to share your word with your people. I pray now, Lord, that that same spirit that inspired the writing of this word will now activate our hearing. I pray, God, that this ancient text will become new and fresh, as though we've never heard it before, because you've breathed on it and because you've breathed on us. Father, I ask that you would allow your worshipers to hear something that I did not say, but that they would hear what you're saying, that they would hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Speak to your servants now, Lord, because we're listening. Our ears are open to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start tonight by asking us a question, and that question is this. What do you think the following people have in common? The first person is David, Jonah, then John Mark, then Simon Peter, Gregory Jackson, Fran Fontaine, Clifford Johnson, and now I want you to call out your own name. Let me hear it. What do you think these persons have in common? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'll answer. These are all people who love and serve or have served God, who believed in God and who were used of God. Yet there were times when each one of them strayed and had to be restored to the Lord and had to pray the prayer that David prayed when he said in the 51st Psalm, "Lord, restore," in the 23rd Psalm, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." We don't need to rehearse these moments of our failing or straying. It's just good enough to know that they were there. And yes, I included myself in there, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I want you to notice now that he didn't pray, "Restore unto me your salvation," because you see, you can't lose your salvation. The question was asked of a preacher by an ordaining council on Saturday, whether or not he thought we could lose our salvation. And I must admit that his answer was theologically tight, rhetorically right, and academically adequate, and so we passed him. But you know what? I'm simple. You can't be unborn once you've been born. You cannot be unborn spiritually any more than you can be unborn physically. Once you are born, you have a father, and that father is always your father. Once you've been born, you have a mother, and that mother is always your mother. Once you're born again, you cannot lose your father. You cannot lose your mother. No, but we cannot lose our relationship with God. How do we know that? Well, Jesus says so. He says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone take them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my daddy are one." While we cannot lose our relationship, we can fail and lose our fellowship. We can stray and walk out of fellowship with God and need to be restored to that place of closeness and fellowship with the Lord. In fact, as I see it, as I think about it, the church, we have a twofold ministry. And that twofold ministry is this. One is primarily the ministry of redemption, winning lost people everywhere in every part of the world to Christ. And that's called global mission. I'm so glad Dr. Jones corrected us this afternoon. You know, we've been calling this foreign mission. When we go to other lands and go to other places, we've been saying that we've got this foreign mission thing going in our churches, when actually it's global mission. Thank you, Dr. Jones, for giving us a new name for what we've been calling out of name, and that is foreign mission. Saints, it's not foreign mission, it's global mission. I wish somebody would say amen. Amen. But now the other is a ministry of restoration, or restoring those failing, straying sheep back into God's fold, restoring people who have fallen, who are lost, and helping them to be restored back to fellowship and fruitfulness with God, restored back to kingdom usefulness. Yeah. Now, what does that mean that our attitude is to be towards some Christians who have failed and need to be restored? Well, number one, we are not to judge them or to ridicule them, are we? But for the grace of God, there go we. You know, some folks love it when a strong child of God fails, or when another Christian fails. Somehow it makes them feel bigger. It makes them feel better. It makes them feel they're awfully wonderful when someone who is a good Christian fails or falls or strays, and they can use them as items of ridicule. But the Bible teaches us we are not to ridicule. We are not to reject them. We are not to say, I'm not going to have anything to do with that so-and-so. So again, because they were supposed to be so such a much, and now they've fallen, they've sinned, and they're out of fellowship with God. And under the guise, you know how we are, under the guise of a prayer request, folks sometimes want to go out and say, do you know what old so-and-so did that's a deacon in our church? Child, you know you really need to pray for him. Do you know what old so-and-so did that used to be a part of the women's ministry? You know you really ought to pray for. Do you know what old so-and-so did who was so active in our church? No, rather than ridicule, we ought to pray for them. No, we're not to ridicule. We're not to ridicule. We're not to reject. We are not to report. We are to restore. And that's what this Lenten message, you knew I was going to get to it, didn't you? That's what this Lenten message is all about today. Because of the cross, our failures are not final and our future is not finished. What did the psalmist say? What did he say? He said, he restores my soul. Now, I want to ask another question, and that is this. Why do people get out of fellowship and stray from God? Well, Isaiah puts it like this. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Sheep stray because they're stubborn. That's the first thing. You know, we think of sheep as being docile and calm and mild and meek, but that's not so. Sheep can be very stubborn about wanting to go their own way and do their own thing. What did Frank Sinatra sing? I did it my way. And, you know, we like that my way thing because that means that we get a chance to be the architect of our own business, and we can do our own thing our way. But that's why sheep have a shepherd. Because they tend to go their own way and to go astray. Now, there are some of you who know one thing, and that is this. Uh-oh, here she comes. You know you're out of fellowship with God. You know that there are some areas in your life where you are in rebellion. You're set in your own way, and you rebel against God, and so you're out of fellowship with God. That's why God told me to preach this message tonight. Because there are some people here who are out of fellowship, and you know you need to be brought back into fellowship with God. And before tonight is over, you're going to be restored back to that place where you used to be or you want to be. Let me just tell you this now. Sheep fail because they are straying. Some sheep are not stubborn. They're not out and out disobeying a command that they know is a command of God, but they stray. And how do they stray? They've gotten callous in the Christian life. Failing to pray like they ought, failing to attend Bible study like they ought, failing to fellowship with other believers like they ought. They've become careless. They've become careless in their habits, and they just wander away from the Lord. Get so caught up in church work, they forget about the work of the church. get so caught up in self, get so caught up in self, they forget about the Savior. What is it that could be enticing you to stray tonight? Is there somebody here who is being enticed or who is being seduced by something that's so seductive that it carries you out of the way of God and carries you out of the will of God? If there is something, then it's you that I'm talking to tonight, and we're going to share some food for thought. You know, they might be coming to church on Sunday morning, but all of a sudden they wake up and find there's no zeal, there's no power. That joy once was short-lived. Why? Because they've been running with chickens. And you all know, I don't have to tell you, eagles can't run with chickens and remain eagles. Y'all hear it and you laugh at it all the time and you say it all the time. And you know that you can't be an eagle and run with the chickens. But you've been running with chickens and you're finding yourself short-circuited in power. You know, some find that old crowd that they used to be comfortable with and start hanging out with them again, talking about their saved. Now, my congregation knows, our folks know that I love to tell stories about myself. And that way, nobody can say that I'm throwing shade or talking about them. Here's one for you. This is not shade. This is real stuff, but it's not about you or not about anybody else, but it's about me. You know, back in the day, they heard this, so they might just look at me and go, here she goes again. Back in the day, many years ago, you know, when I first came back to the Lord after having strayed, I went out to one of those places where everybody knows your name. And wait, no. She's even got the leg crossed right. She said, yes, sir. Woo! Bless you, daughter. She oh God. Went to one of those old places where everybody knows your name and met up with a few old midday Saturday friends. You know what I'm talking about. You know, hanging out between Saturday chores and grocery shopping on Saturday. And one of them asked me, well, where have you been? I haven't seen you for a long time. Well, I proudly announced, well, I'm saved now. And that's why you haven't seen me. He said to me, saved? Well, what are you doing in here? That question saved me from a life of failure. If he had not challenged me, I might be there now, legs crossed, cocktail glass in my hand, sipping on one of those Pinkertinis, swearing I was a good Christian, but that thing struck my heart like a sword. I left never to return. Even now, I'm not comfortable sitting at the finest bar, even if I'm only waiting for a dinner reservation to open up. As much as I love the Stony Hill Inn, you will never catch me sitting at the bar waiting for a table to open up. It gives me hives. I'd rather stand in a corner and wait for a table to open up. You see what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me now, all right? Now, I don't know if you out there, but I was just talking about me, all right? Somebody better say amen. Amen. She wasn't talking about me. She talking about herself. Sheep stray because they are sick. There are many people who are not in fellowship with God tonight because they're just sick. They're sick because of discouragement. They're sick because of depression. They don't have that peace with God and that power and that motivation to serve God anymore. Why? Because you can't mix sin and sanctification. It'll make you sick every time. Some sheep are sick. Some sheep are sick not only because of depression, not only because of discouragement, but because of some disappointment. Something happened in their life that disappointed them, and because of that, they're one of God's sick sheep today. Some are sick because of brokenness. Some have gone through a divorce. Some are sick because of bitterness. Some preacher let them down. Some Christian let them down. Some person that they know totally and completely let them down, turned their back on them and betrayed them, and there's bitterness in their heart, and they've become sick because of it. Some sheep are sick because of bondage. They've allowed some sin in their life that's literally taken control of their life. They're not lost. They didn't lose their salvation, but they're in bondage. They're in bondage to sin, and because of it, they can't serve God or have the fellowship that they once had with the Lord. Yes, there are some reasons. Those are some reasons for straying of rebellious sheep, but thank God, in spite of it, there is the faithfulness of a restoring shepherd. David said, he restores my soul. How? Glad you asked. Stubborn sheep are restored with the rod of chastisement. Hebrews 12, 5, 6 said, and you've forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, or faint when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges everyone he receives. That word scourge is a severe kind of punishment. It's a severe kind of beating. And sometimes when God's sheep are so rebellious and so stubborn that they won't listen any other way, they won't come back any other way, God pulls out the rod. God will pull out his rod. Yes, he will. You know, the shepherd had three instruments. The first one was a rod. Then he had a staff and he had a bag of oil. The rod was a weapon. It was short. It was like a club. It was made of a sapling with a knob-like club on the end. And the shepherd would put bits of steel and metal in that rod. And while he was watching the sheep in the daytime, he would practice. He would practice throwing that rod, and it could become a dangerous missile with which he could kill a lion or he could slay a bear. He could also use it sometimes to bring his stubborn sheep back into the path. Sometimes when a sheep was so stubborn he wouldn't respond, the shepherd would actually take that rod and do something that's going to sound very cruel. And what is that? He would take the rod and break his legs. He would break the leg of that sheep, but then he would set the leg in a splint, and the shepherd himself would carry the sheep around while the leg was being set. As the shepherd carried the sheep, what happened? Whose leg had to be broken, what happened? They developed a very close relationship. And after that leg was mended and healed, that sheep was always the closest one to the shepherd. He was closer to the shepherd than all the other ones, perhaps, who had not strayed and gone so far away like he had. It seemed like he was the lead sheep. Because he would never, ever get away from the shepherd. He had gotten so used to being close to the shepherd because his leg had been broken and the shepherd had to carry him, that it was like he was afraid to leave the shepherd, Deacon Robinson. He was afraid to leave him. And someone is wondering what's going on with them today. There's somebody out here under the sound of my voice who's wondering what's going on with them today. Maybe the one who breaks us is trying to get your attention. There have been some situations that have come into your life and you've wondered where they came from. What did you do to cause them to happen? You didn't do anything, but yes, you did do something. You strayed, and God is trying to get your attention to bring you back to the place where you ought to be. If you're so stubborn that God has to break you, it's the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. Why? Because I want you to notice what chastisement does for you. First thing it does, it reveals your sonship. Now, why am I saying that? Well, I'll tell you why. Glad you asked. If you can sin and live in disobedience and stubborn rebellion against God and you are not chastised, it's a sign that you might never have been saved. Will somebody say hallelujah? Why am I saying that? Because the most miserable person in the world is not an unsaved person. It's a saved person who is out of fellowship with God. And who is under the chastisement of God. Reverend, I too say, are you listening to me? So I'm not copying you, but are you listening to me? If you're saved today, yet you're miserable, you need to check your relationship. Because if you're saved today and your joy is missing, you need to check your fail factor. Is there something going on with you that should not be going on in your life, that shouldn't be happening? You have to ask yourself the question, has your faith taken a nosedive like that Malaysian aircraft? Has something taken you off course and caused you to be MIA? Or missing in action? But chastisement does something else. Chastisement renews our worship. You see, when God uses the rod, he's got to stay closer to you. He has to carry you. He has to force you into a relationship with him when he uses the rod on you. Yeah, yeah. And what happens then? You learn to worship the Lord all over again. And you learn to focus on him all over again. You learn to do that for which you were created, and that is to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You learn to worship him. You learn to stay in his face. You learn to get all up in his face and to get all up in God's presence and worship him for everything you're worth, because you know that's the only thing that's going to save you. But chastisement does something else. It restores our fellowship. It doesn't seem happy at the time, but the Bible says it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. What? God doesn't inflict pain on us, although he will allow the enemy to get to us at times. Remember Job? But he still does chasten us. How? Well, Lord, the Lord doesn't allow us pain. How does he chasten us? Glad you asked again. The word of God says that every scripture is God-breathed. Given by his inspiration and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience. That the child of God might be complete and proficient, well fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible makes it clear to us that the Lord chastises us with his word, not with sickness, not with pain. You know, we have this way of going around saying, the Lord put this on somebody, the Lord put this sickness, the Lord put this pain. Put yourself in subjection to the word. That's enough pain. Because you see, the sword of the spirit or the word of God is two-edged. One side is for Satan, but the other side is for you. It trims away the flesh and sanctifies us. That's why the word is so important in the life of a believer. That's what God uses to correct us, not sickness, not illness. Sickness came because of sin, because of our disobedience, not because of God's will. That is not God. God allows it, but God doesn't put sickness on anybody, although God will allow sickness to come to you. Oh, yes, he will. But see, you know, this word is meant to put someone in check who is strayed off and needs to return, or someone who is about to stray off and needs to be put in check before they stray. New Hope, what do we say? Check yourself before you. Straying sheep are restored with the staff of correction. What's the staff? Well, we all know that the shepherd has a staff, don't we? We know that that's the stick that's got the crook on the end, and every shepherd has one. The crook on the end was just big enough to go around the body of a little lamb, but it was also big enough to go around the head of a grown sheep. So it really doesn't matter where you are in your journey with the Lord. You can be a new baby, or you can be an old person in the Lord. If you need correction, wherever you are, God will find you, and God will pull you back. And whenever a sheep would get off the path, he'd reach over with the crook and bring him back to the path. Whenever he would stray and fall into a pit, God would reach down into the pit and pull that sheep out with that crook. David prayed in the psalm and said, Lord, I praise you that you've lifted me out of the miry clay. David understood the action of that shepherd in lifting him out of his folly into which he fell, simply because he was a stubborn, straying sheep. Maybe today there's somebody under the sound of my voice in a pit of despair, or a pit of discouragement, or a pit of grief, or you're in a pit of suffering. But the Lord will reach down. Yes, he will. Yeah. He'll reach down with that staff of love, and he'll draw you lovingly to himself. If you will just hold still long enough for the Lord to reach down and grab you. But then I'm moving on here now. Six sheep are restored with the oil of comfort. The shepherd also had a bag of oil that he mixed with tar for medicinal purposes. And every night when the sheep would come in and he'd take them into the fold, he would count them one by one and make sure they were all there. Then he would run his hands in the wool. He would run his fingers through the wool to make sure that there were no cuts or there were no bruises inside them, because straying sheep often get cut up and bruised. You know that, don't you? They run out and they run into places where they have no business. They run into briar patches and they run into all kinds of dangerous circumstances, and they come out all bruised up and all beat up. And the shepherd had to reach down into the wool and feel to see if there were any vermin, if there were any cuts or anything, or maybe they had been bitten by a wild animal. Do you know there's some wild animals out there that stray, that if you stray, there's some wild animals out there that if you stray, they will get you. They will eat you up. They will tear your backside a brand new one. And God will have to put his hands on you and put some oil on you and bring you back to where you need to be. When he would find a cut or a bruise, I'm not going to talk about the wild animals because y'all know, you know what they are. But when he would find a cut or a bruise, he would pour the oil on that wounded sheep and it would comfort, soothe, and heal that wounded sheep. Some of you are wounded. You've got cuts. You've got bruises. You've been cut by bitterness. You've been cut by deaths. You've been cut by illness. And as I said before, you've been cut by divorce. You've been cut and wounded by people. You have been cut and bruised by life. But the Lord wants to take you and pour the soothing oil of his spirit onto that cut. God wants you to sit still long enough for him to take his hands and run his hands in your wool, run his hands over your body, run his hands on your underbelly, rub his hands on your little backside, rub his hands all in your hair so that he can heal you and he can make you whole all over again. And then after that, what can he do? He can make you fruitful. What does he say? He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. As I thought about this, it occurred to me that if I could lose my salvation, if I could lose my soul, Jesus would lose more. What do I mean? He would lose his reputation. And God is not going to be embarrassed. You might embarrass yourself, but God is not going to be embarrassed. God is not going to fail. Sin cannot win in your life, and God cannot fail in your life. You can be stubborn, yes, and you can stray, but God isn't going to fail. You can be sick, but God has his name to protect. He has to lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Let me just share something with you. Greg is talking about how I was the first woman in the community to pastor an African-American, black African-American church. Praise the Lord, whatever we called it back. I think it was black. It was a black church. It was a black African. First female, and let me tell you, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. But you know what? I stood on the word of God. There were times when New Hope, y'all sent me home to my bed. You didn't know this. I'll tell you this 21 years later. Y'all sent me home to my bed in tears. There were many nights, and I would go home and get in my bed, and I would pull the cover over my head, and I said, Lord, if you don't deal with these people, they're going to say you're not able. They're going to say, God, that you're not able. And you've got your name to protect, so you better do something with these folks. Praise the Lord, 21 years later, somebody better say amen. You see, because God's got a name to protect. God is not going to fail. God's going to lead me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The word of God says, though a man shall stumble and fall, he'll not utterly be cast down because the Lord will uphold him with his right hand. If God's people turn out to be people who are unfruitful and unproductive and they are not conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus, then the whole purpose of God has been aborted. The Lord Jesus went to Calvary for nothing, and I know he did not go to Calvary for nothing. Are you listening to me? And if a shepherd didn't care any more about the sheep than to let them get away or to let them fall into a pit and be left there, then that shepherd would soon be out of business. And I'm here tonight to tell you that God is not going out of business. How do I know that? How do I know that God is not going out of business? Because God has been in the church business for over 2,000 years. And I'm here to tell you he isn't going out of business today because he knows how to restore straying sheep and to bring them back to fruitfulness. Now, it's not enough just to say, I want to dedicate my life to the Lord. You've got to say, Lord, lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. As we follow the shepherd, there's also purity. That's a dirty word in some places. But nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his, and that all those who are his depart from iniquity. all those who name the name of Jesus. What's the attitude of a child of God who's been restored back into fellowship? God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I brought shame to your name. I'm sorry that I brought any person into a place where they should not have been with my bad behavior. Lord, lead me in the paths of righteousness. Lead me in the path of purity. But as we follow the shepherd, and I'm hurrying on, there is productivity. When you lead in the paths of righteousness, it's for his name's sake. It's to glorify God. It's to draw other people to the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to restore you, whoever you are, so that you can be a witness and so that you can win others to him. Failure is not final for a child of God. If you don't believe it, ask Peter. What did Peter do? He denied Jesus 3 times, and a short time later he was restored and he preached and 3,000 people got saved. I know there are probably people who ridiculed him and rejected him and gossiped about him, but Jesus restored him. And this whole Bible is a picture of God who says to the children of God who are strayed, who are stubborn and are sick, your Father's arms are still open. I don't care who you are tonight, whatever you've done, the Father's arms are still open. Like the Father said to the prodigal, welcome home. If you're here tonight and you strayed through negligence, perhaps that no one knew about but you. Because you see, there are some things that I've done. There are some things that all of us have done that nobody knew about but you. And if there was somebody else involved, only they and you know about it. But God knows about it. And this invitation is for you. And what we want to do is we want to pray for you and with you that you'll return tonight to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And you can stray right. Did you know that you can stray in the pew, that you can knock over somebody getting to on Sunday morning? You can stray with your bad attitude. You can stray with your bad mindedness. You can stray with your misstep. You can stray with your misspeaking. Come on, let the shepherd restore you. I know the sad moments in my own life where I've strayed away from my shepherd. You know the sad moments in your life where you have strayed away. But in his grace, mercy, and great love, he has always brought me back. He will always bring you back. The word says, he who has begun a good work in you, who's begun a good work, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Our salvation originated with God. He began the good work of grace in our hearts. And as long as we live in our imperfect state in this sin-soaked world, we can rest assured that God will carry on that work of salvation until we finish our course. All right. And he crowns the work of his hand. Yes, he restores our soul. He restores our soul and leads us in the paths of righteousness for whose sake? For his name's sake. Now, Dr. Jones, I went to Jasper Williams hooping class 101. But I decided in my old age, I'm not hooping, I'm teaching. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. There's somebody here tonight under the sound of my voice. And you're looking right at me and you're smiling like, it ain't me. Under the sound of my voice, you're straying and you need to be restored. You need to repent because repentance is still in style. You need to come back to the Lord. You need to bring yourself on back to the Lord. Come on back. Lord, take me back. You need to come on back to the Lord. You're living in something you got no business living in. You're messing around with something you have no business messing around with. You're ingesting something that you have no business ingesting. And you know that you are, and you need to be restored. That's why Jesus came. That's why they hung him high and stretched him wide. So that you and I could be restored. He restores my soul. That's why Jesus came, to restore you and to restore me in Jesus' name. The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. And the first call.